Hello and welcome to another episode of the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, on Smart Speaker, and wherever you get your podcasts. I'm AD Packham, and we could be making you very popular indeed with the assistance of Flowers Unlimited. Well then, that was one to forget on Saturday, wasn't it? I mean, let's face it, Everton did nothing to win the game, but in truth, neither did we. And the game was only a VAR intervention away from a very dull 0-0. But one bad performance doesn't make a season, and we move on to the City Ground on Saturday to face the Forest side, who will be licking their wounds after losing heavily at Bournemouth at the weekend. Let's hope that we can get back to winning ways instead of them. The January transfer window remains open and rumours continue to circulate about the future of Evan Ferguson. We've already seen Jakob Moda and Julio Enciso head out, but after finishing the game with Adam Webster up front on Saturday, are we sure we can let Evan go? Joining me today is, of course, Alan Wares, and we are delighted to welcome back from the Fans Advisory Board a certain Mr. Clive Steed. Hello, Clive. Nice to see you. Welcome. Thank you for coming back.
You're welcome. Lovely to be back.
Yeah, well, last time you were here, but we only heard about two words from you.
And that was just to confirm his name.
Can you confirm your name is Clive Steed?
Yes. I can.
Anyway, welcome back. And obviously, we're not doing that bad a job, actually, if Clive has come back, but welcome back. Can I just do, before we start, Ada, can I just do a little bit of housekeeping? Now, last week, I had a spectacular, well, I was mild brain fart, I suppose. And I uploaded both to the podcast and to the radio the previous week's show. I mean, we only recorded them about 3 days apart, but even so, I should know what the dates are, because when I save the file, I save it to the date. So I uploaded that. So we did get an immediate response from some people, which actually quite shocked me, because it shows that people, so there are some people who listen to this. Thank you very much indeed. But what seems to have happened, and certainly from the message I got from Clive earlier today, is that while Spotify did refresh the re-upload I had, i.e. the correct file, Apple didn't. And I think from the figures we get, most people download through or listen through Apple. So the podcast is still there. You can still go and get it. It is there as the live one. It's kind of interesting that Apple don't refresh it. But it's either that or get your podcast from Spotify. That's not necessarily an advertisement for them. But if you do need to refresh and you say, oh, I can't find last week's show, it is there. So apologies for uploading it in the first place. Yeah. Mea culpa, totally my fault, 100%. The show with last week with Brian, it was a good natter. We talked about Manchester United. So if you want to avoid this week's show, because we're going to talk about Everton and ticket prices, then go back to last week's show. We were talking about the glory of beating Manchester United again.
Yes, but Al, if they do that, how will they know how to win the competition?
We're
going to make one of our very lucky listeners very, very popular with their other half.
And do you know how you're going to win? You've got to carry on listening.
That's it. So we apologise in advance. We are going to talk about Everton. We will gloss over most of it.
What are you talking about? We're going to spend 45 minutes talking about it.
Well, let's get it out of the way then. And
go on then.
Well, there was no Purvis Estupiñán, so Tarek Lamptey filled in at left back. Yankuba Minter was apparently named in the starting lineup, but he didn't start, Alan. And do you know why this is?
Well, the word on the street seems to be that his tardiness. Not as late necessarily as a Morgan Gibbs-White challenge, but. Yeah, I think it's one of those things that if you turn up late, you're going to get ticked off. Yeah. Is this something you've heard at all, Clive?
I heard the same rumour that everybody has, I guess, really, and sort of surprised that he wasn't starting, and also Jorginho as well, actually.
Yeah, I think I've worked out what it is, why he was late, Al.
Why was he late, AD?
Because he was too busy listening to last week's Albion Roar, and I was actually singing his praises for the first time this season. And he was like,
"You mean he had us on repeat?"
So he had a little bit of a fist bump and go, "Yay, AD's in favour," and made himself late, and then, yes.
Well, in that case, so what you're actually doing here, if I'm reading you right, is you're blaming yourself for him not
Yes,
starting.
I'm taking the blame.
Right, in that case, can you trash him today and hopefully they might pull his socks up?
Oh, well, there's a few players I could do that to after
Well,
Saturday,
actually,
to
can
be
we just start with that point? I mean, of all
honest.
those that started, and I'm going to gloss over Grealish because for me, he's still a work in progress. There is something there, but he's not there yet. Does anyone know the reason as to why it is Jorginho Rutter is not a starter?
I think in this particular game, it was because, I mean, we wanted to get Danny back in the starting lineup, which we did.
But Rutter
Georgie,
mostly plays out wide, doesn't he?
well, I mean, basically, I mean, he doesn't play through the middle. There is, generally speaking, but he has been starting to play a little bit more central, a little more of a number 10, I guess. But I don't know. It's a weird one. We've got a big squad now, and we can't have everybody starting. That
No.
is.
Clive, you got any thoughts on this? Because clearly that the fella's in form.
Unless it's just that they want someone with a bit of impact from, second half or 60 minutes in, could be the only other reason I would say. I mean, to me, I was surprised he didn't start. I thought it would have been the energy he brings to the fan. I mean, it's great JP waving his hands above his head and saying, but actually, Jorginho, just from his presence on the pitch, brings energy to the
Yeah.
fans, to the whole ground. And I think getting that from the start would have been an advantage, actually.
Does that seek to presume that he doesn't have 90 minutes in him at the moment?
No, not at all. I just think it's with the players we've got. I mean, I think you were talking about Matoma last week, and with Minter coming and people like that they have a bigger impact potentially after sort of 60 minutes when everyone else is a bit tired and heavy legs, and that pace and enthusiasm can come on. No, I wouldn't say he hasn't got 90 minutes in. I think he clearly
Yeah,
has.
I think that's a very good point, and particularly playing against an Everton side who we knew weren't going to be as progressive as certain other clubs that come to the Amex. They didn't necessarily park the bus, but more of an
No, they're
articulated
parked three,
lorry.
I think, Aid. I think they're parked three.
It was, I mean, they're. I mean, it was an interesting. I mean, obviously, them losing Calvert-Lewin early didn't help their game plan. But with us
Sorry,
knowing that,
AD. Sorry, AD.
yeah,
They had a game plan.
yes, but
All right. Well, not going
I would
forward, they
certainly.
didn't.
They're a professional football side in the Premier League, Alan. I would certainly hope they do.
It didn't
And
show.
it was apparently I've read somewhere that it was David Moyes' 700th game. If only someone had mentioned that beforehand. And he's he should know how to set up a side. And strangely, he has done this sort of setup before. We have seen it many times. I actually got in. I did an Everton show last week. I actually got into trouble for suggesting that he is a proponent of anti-football at times.
Well, he
And
is.
that.
I
Think he is, but you also look at the squad he's got there at the moment, and what else? And until the penalty, I actually thought we looked okay. I thought we were going to go on a win. I was sat with two Everton fans, some clients, and I sort of thought, it was a bit painful. We were trying to walk the ball into the goal, but I honestly felt we were going to go on and we were playing quite reasonably, and we're going on a win. And then once the goal went in, it was total anti-football, wasn't it?
As a from a neutral's point of view, now obviously we're not watching game as neutrals, but from a neutral's point of view, it was probably just about the worst thing that could have happened to the game. Because as relatively negative, I mean, yeah, we might as well leap straight to the penalty because
Yeah.
in the
Okay.
preceding 40 minutes, there was a lot of sort of good possession football from the Albion, but without the nous to break it down. And this is I just want to sort of address one criticism that. That the players seem to have is how how poorly we pay against or how the results against the lower end teams. And we have now, and I've said this before on this show, and I think it certainly rings true. We have the reputation of playing good football, of playing possession football, of being difficult to beat, etc., etc. And it's still only five defeats in the league this season, of being difficult to beat. And therefore, those quote lesser clubs. The ones that I think Clive was kind of touching on that don't have the best squads as they could have are going to actually play a lot more defensively. Now, the likes of Chelsea and Manchester City in their pomp 5, 6, 7 years ago also found it difficult to break down teams that, quote, play the low block or park the bus, whatever you want to call it. They had within them eventually to the nous to break them down because they had these superior players. But we're in that sort of no man's land or every man's land, whatever way you want to call it, of having a reputation of being a really good side, but without actually having necessarily the quality and or nous or guile to break them down. So if a lot of these clubs, I suppose, try to play a more open, expansive game, they know that we can pick them off. And that's why the bigger clubs play that game, and that's why we get the better results. But when you play Everton, and when you, I mean, we did a number on Ipswich eventually, but when you play the lower teams, we struggle against them because we don't have, I mean, we can just pass around them. And then when we get behind them, the final ball into the box is usually abysmal. The quality isn't there.
Yeah, but I mean, you could argue that. And
I just have.
And I'm going to bring up another two sides that we failed to beat this season. And we should have beaten because in both of these games, we were 2-0 up in the 86th minute. And, you know, they came with a low block. And, you know, we scored late in both of those games, a second goal late in both of those games, which should have been enough to see us over the line. It just wasn't in those games. It's just, as Fabian said when we interviewed him a few weeks ago, not playing for the 90 minutes.
On. One of those was a home game. One of those was an away game. And obviously teams do set up differently at home compared to away. Now, I say Wolves, we didn't learn our lesson from the League Cup game earlier in the season. And we just got sloppy. I didn't think the Wolves necessarily played a particularly low block. The type of game that Ipswich did when they came down, the type of game that Everton did when they came down, I didn't think they did that so much. And certainly Leicester up there, again, 2-0 up with a few minutes to go. The home team were not playing that way. Those first 40 minutes passed by because, and I also almost get to the point where I prefer us playing the top sides on account of the fact it's going to be a more entertaining game. And I genuinely think we have a better chance of winning on account of the fact that we can get past those. We are that good that we can get past them. We're just not that good enough that we can't play against teams that, you know, man the barricades.
Yeah. Well, I'll put it to you then, Clive. In that case, it's up to us if we want to progress, if we want to be challenging for the European places and challenging for trophies, which is the ambition of the club, then we need to put that right, don't we?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's... I would like to just go a little bit more direct occasionally. You know, you look at the Haaland goal at the weekend.
Yeah.
I always go back to Peter Schmeichel. He'd pick the ball up, run, absolutely sprint to the edge of his box. And that throw he would give out to Giggs, he always looked for it. He didn't always do it. Whereas we're always that very, back to square one, very slow progression. And I just like to see occasionally try that, release Matoma with a throw or kick direct from Verbruggen and give that a go.
I mean, we're not scared of the long ball. I mean, Lewis has been, he did two fabulous raking balls on at the weekend.
Scored against Manchester United doing just that.
Yeah.
But we don't seem to do that from Bart. It tends to be, they step up a bit and the longer ball comes from sort of, a bit further up the field. There's nothing coming really quickly from the keeper for me, I don't want to say every time, but just... Well,
that's the word, Clive. I mean, you used the word quick there. And that's what I've been watching this team this season. And there's times when everything just needs to be quicker. It needs to be boom, boom, boom. And we are seeing us do it. I know we can do it. And it's just sometimes it's just that there's like, I don't know, a lethargy in the movement that is just.
Well,
it's
I think one common thing that's happened through this season is that we're fairly slow, as you put it, in the first half. And then I think if we tried to play the way that we've played a lot of times in the second half, I think it's fairly a fairly consistent pattern. I don't know if you agree with this, that first half, Clive, we're a bit lethargic. Second half, we pick it up and actually sort of go up them a bit. Would you agree with that?
I'm on a number of WhatsApp groups. One of them is always talking about putting in a 90-minute performance. And I think Norwich was probably the closest we came to at least an 80-minute performance.
But my point with that is that in the Premier League, I'm not sure that you can actually put in a 90-minute performance. And I genuinely think that they actually save themselves a little bit. It's a dangerous tactic, but because they play, it seems to be One, deliberate. Two, constant. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, no,
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but
Yeah.
you're right. It's is a bit slow at times.
I mean, I'm not suggesting that we play 100 miles an hour for 90 minutes. I mean,
I
there
don't
is
think we
such a,
can.
I mean, there is such a thing as resting on the ball.
Or you
And you
call
well,
it, it's the phrase you use, AD, game management.
yeah, absolutely. And sometimes you just, but you need to, you need to like slip that gear and take the opportunity when it arises. And I was watching Match of the Day at the weekend. And I know we can't compare because obviously different managers, etc. But I was watching a couple of the goals that Bournemouth has scored, a couple of some of the goals that Newcastle scored, and it was just a quick interplay, and they're through on goal. And you know, we I can't remember the last time we had a one-on-one on goal.
Rose,
Yeah.
Everton,
Cool.
was it?
Oh yeah, he's still the Everton defence are still chasing him on that one. Hang it in the loo, said the Liverpool fans. But it's like,
Well,
yeah.
this is, I mean, this is the point about the game as a whole is that we, you know, I read an Everton report saying that Everton bossed the game. And I'm thinking, well, it depends on your sort of philosophical point of view. They bossed it in as much as we didn't get past them. But if you're talking about possession and yes, chances, and we're back to the sort of like the whole thing that the entire team has forgotten how to shoot, which is a classic thing that happened under Potter.
Yeah.
Was eventually sorted out, helped a little bit more under De Zerbi, and then we went completely kamikaze, and now we've regressed to not being able to shoot.
Yeah.
I think
There
if
is
it's go
a bizarre stat in regards to this particular fixture, whereas the home side has not won this game out in the last 8 occasions.
I can well believe that. I can well believe that. So next season it's up for grabs because they got a new place. But I mean, I wouldn't say that necessarily our defence is actually wonderful in teaming, but in the last four games, we've conceded two goals and they've both been penalties, which says something. I'm not sure what, but it says something.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, okay, well let's get on to the penalty. I mean, there's been some debate about it. I know we were talking after the game out. You were adamant that it definitely wasn't a penalty,
No, I'm
Clive.
adamant it was a push.
And I think that's the key point, was it? Was it a foul on Veltman that enabled him to go down? At first, I thought it was, you know, the way he can go down was part of his housery of, you know, arms apart and
Yeah.
like he's been shot. And I thought, well, is he doing that? But yeah, to me, there is a deliberate swipe at the ball. That isn't a natural position. I don't know why he did it. I just, if it'd been given, if we hadn't got it against us, you'd be screaming for it. So I think, and the minute they went over the monitor, you knew exactly what was going to happen, didn't you?
Well, this—I mean, my viewpoint is this. Okay,
Cool.
so right, yeah, did Joel handball it? Was it an unnatural act to, the way he did it? Yes. Did he do that because he was being fouled? Yes. Was it a clear and obvious error? No, it was not a clear and obvious error. The ref saw it in real time. He saw it as a push,
So what
and.
you're saying here is, and this is what you'd have accepted it if the referee had given it and then VAR didn't overturn it. But what you're, I think you're saying here is that because the referee didn't give it, VAR shouldn't have overturned it
No, it
because of
wasn't a
the.
clear and obvious error.
Yeah.
And basically, VAR's remit is if it's a clear and obvious error. I mean, there was meant to be ref's call this year. We haven't seen it. We saw it in the first few weeks of the season, but not so much now. I mean, the other question, the other thing I've got written down here is if that had happened anywhere else on the pitch, would that ha what would that have been given as? Would it be given as if would it be? It probably would be given as a push.
Yeah, I think you got the free
Or not at
kick.
all.
Are you, hang on, are you saying with the hypothetical notion of VAR looking at it, or just the referee
Oh
going
no,
with his
just if that action where
has been outside the box?
the pressure's coming on the back of Joel go, and Joel goes down, is that going to be given as a foul? Is it going to be given as play on? I would say
Yeah, because
probably play on
if it's on
or
the
a
side of
foul.
the pitch, he does seem to win a lot of free kicks outside the box. Going down, and I take your point. Actually, it is a good point. He probably would have won a free kick for excessive use, and
But
this
is
is
that
the
his reputation,
ridiculous,
though,
of
for
course.
doing that?
But
That
he
he's
did get free
just.
kicks. That I mean, yes, there was one time where he went sailing past a particular defender, and ended up going over, and even we could say, think, oh, come on, Joel, you're better than that. Yeah, we know him for his outhousery. I think what he usually does is it's not as though he dives. I think what it is he does that thing of standing still, waiting for an attacker to oblige him and nudge him in the back. And I think that is kind of one of the sort of the dark arts that he indulges himself in. It is a high risk thing because, and let's get back to this particular referee. Until the penalty, I thought he was having a really, really good game because Everton were up to their usual ice skating antics, going over at the merest puff of wind. Apart from Calvert-Lewin, of course, that was
Yeah,
a
very
genuine
sad.
sort of injury. Yeah, not good. But yeah, there
I
was a
didn't
lot.
notice him, which has yeah is the definition of a half decent ref, isn't it? There was that time wasting, and
Well,
they
even
never
then, he
quite
was
get on it.
kind of on the case when you saw that Pickford was deciding to time. What was the phrase my friend used? He wasted no time in time wasting.
Well, I mean,
Yeah.
basically, he was already on a yellow for time wasting as well. So, I mean, Fabian was furious afterwards and saying he should have got a second yellow. But
Was it the case? I read somewhere, and I don't know if it was BS or not, or social media outhousery, that someone said that the referee made a comment to someone that he was not ever going to send Pickford off for a second time wasting yellow card,
I
or
did
was
see that, and I don't think anyone's going to send a ref send a keeper off for two lots of time
why
wasting.
not though?
It's a brave decision to do, isn't it?
Well, if you can.
It was a brave decision to send off Declan Rice, but
Yeah, considering very few people saw it.
so
Well,
I think
I think
you
it's
know at
more
the end of the
is.
day the rules are the rules.
Well, this is
I
it.
but
I
I
mean,
think a Declan Rice was more in the instant something's happened and a card's given, yeah.
as opposed to a second for time wasting is a very, I know it's time wasting. I've spoken to him. I'm going to do it
Is
again. It's a bit more of a slower.
yeah, but
Yeah,
I
I
mean,
suppose it.
how is that? I mean, it's petty and stupidity, but how is it any different, right? So to somebody scoring a goal and taking their shirt off to celebrate, and then getting booked for time wasting as well.
Yeah,
It's
or not
it's
retreating for
both
10 yards from a free
both
kick.
both are petty offences. I mean, taking your shirt off one, I still find a little bit odd, but it's a rule that it's a yellow card if you do that, and everybody knows that. And if you then we've seen plenty of players do that and pick up second yellows for something else.
I'm not sure that's the point that Clive's making here, though, AD. I mean, what you're saying here is, Clive, is that you fully respect and appreciate the fact that you get a yellow card for time wasting. But what's your argument? You just feel it's petty to have, basically, if the goalkeeper's behaving in exactly the same way, he hasn't changed his attitude, he hasn't changed his demeanour, that the referee shouldn't do it again. Is that what you're saying?
Not, I think they don't. Not that they shouldn't. I think
Right.
there's a almost. I'm not going to be the ref that's going to send someone off for doing that twice, and a keeper as well, which is a real big decision, isn't it?
But it's not even really necessarily being a stickler for the law. I think that, if anything, it sends a message out to the next set of goalkeepers that actually, if you don't buck your ideas up. Because I think the other thing that people get fed up with is a goalkeeper wasting time. To be fair, the referee did add on both in the
8
first and
minutes,
second
yeah,
half a fair whack
seven of
of
us, yeah,
did, yep.
and I think he acknowledged that. I mean, like I say, there's so many parts of the game that I thought the referee did well. Those big decisions, I mean, the penalty notwithstanding. Well, he got the original penalty decision right. That's the point. And then he had a yellow streak longer than a herd of diuretic camel. And, VAR pulled his pants down. Go with your own thing. You saw what happened. Unless you're actually saying is that you genuinely didn't see Veltman's hand coming out. In
I
which
think
case. Well,
once that's
there
pointed
is that
out to you,
possibility.
and
Sorry,
it
Clive.
was
Yeah, go
unnecessary.
on.
Sorry, Clive.
But once that's pointed out to you, that sort of that swipe, I think it's very hard not to give it.
Yeah, you can't unsee it, can you?
You can't, and
But
that's a bit unfortunate. And then you see it from a different angle; it doesn't look like a swipe. But I imagine he was shown that swipe,
I
and
was he taking into account the push? And he clearly was pushed.
I don't think he was, no.
Right, that's
Yeah.
you've got to take these things into consideration. I remember a
It
game, I think it was Ajax last season, There was a VAR call for a penalty. The AEK defender, it's either AEK or Marseille, one of the two. I think it was AEK. The AEK defender clearly clattered into a Brighton player, which VAR picked up on. But what they then sort of realised is, I think it might have been Van Hecke just before that had fouled one of their players, and so which VAR hadn't picked up on, the referee did. So my point is that the referee and the VAR should take into account all aspects, not just the handball, but the reasons behind it. I was half expecting a free kick to be given.
It's how many phases of play do you want to go back with those sort of
Yeah. Well,
things?
no,
So
this was part of the
different.
same phase, wasn't it?
Okay.
I didn't go this year because I'd done it previously. I thought so I'd let someone else go. But on Friday, there was a PGMOL with all the chairs of the FABs, and Howard Webb comes. He presents something. He then presents these are the laws of the game, an incident, and then people decide if it's a red, yellow penalty, sending off. And having had they explained to you exactly what the laws of the game are, watching an incident with all of the angles, the room is then divided on whether or not someone should go off or. And it's, I find it fascinating. They should be, it should be more brilliant, shouldn't it? It's a yes or no. It's a red or it's not.
Yeah,
And
but that's the point, isn't it? The law specifically states in the opinion of the referee, isn't it?
yeah,
There
but
isn't a
we've
quantifiable.
just. Yeah, I mean, it's a different type of decision, but we've just seen the Arsenal red card from the weekend get overturned today. So,
And
was
rightly
it?
so. Yeah, I
Well,
mean, that
yeah.
was poor.
But
Yeah.
okay, well, I mean, they got the penalty, they scored, and Dyche got booked for impersonating a seagull. I was not incensed. In fact, I probably wasn't paying any attention to it at all. I was too
It
angry.
wasn't impersonating a seagull, it was goading the crowd. He ran straight behind the goal, then along the north stand, and then along the west stand. So there was easily a good 50, 60 yards along the edge of the pitch that he ran. The seagull thing itself wasn't necessarily, well, it was probably the straw that broke the camel's back. It was the fact that he was A, that, why do you need to run around the perimeter of the home fans? Which is one thing, but then doing the seagull thing. So it on its own is,
Yeah.
a bit silly.
I
The
did.
two things together.
I did hear it being described on another podcast today. I was like, he can't have been impersonating a seagull. They don't sell chips at the
Well, there is that.
Amex.
Yeah. He was really impersonating me going to sort of like scrag the bin bags.
Okay.
What
No,
do you think of Bruggen's attempt?
what was I assume Verbruggen was booked for outhousery, Clive.
No, I meant trying to save it.
Oh.
He seems to do very well for the Dutch, doesn't he? But in penalties,
Has he? I
but
don't think he's ever saved one, has he?
yeah, no,
Yeah,
he's
yeah,
had, he did,
yeah.
he's done well. He's got a good record internationally for penalties.
Well, to be fair, it was a very well-placed penalty. I mean, it was right in the corner and he went the right way.
He almost got there, didn't he? It
Yeah.
was,
Almost. I'm
yeah,
prepared to
shame.
say that was a good penalty rather than poor goalkeeping.
Well, I would have probably celebrated the penalty save at that particular moment as much as the goal,
Oh,
definitely.
God, yeah, absolutely.
I would have gone loopy. Okay, well, I mean, look, it was a bad day at the races. We were never going to score. I mean, playing Adam Webster up front is a
Are you
weird
sure?
one.
Can I ask something with this? Are you sure it was Webster that went up front? Because I
Yes.
thought for the most part it was Van Hecke went up front and Webster went in defence.
No, Van. He
Because there
it
was a
was
couple of
Webster
times
up
I saw
front.
Van Hecke was the one chasing the keeper down.
That was after a corner, though, and actually, that was Pickford had a foul given to him for a foul by Van Hecke when it was the other way round.
Yes, that was another one, yeah.
it
Well, the
was
thing
like it
is
was yeah.
they're in the 6 yard box, they're always, always, always.
No.
Listen, I was watching the women's game, Albion against Man United a couple of nights ago. I really wished I hadn't because the Albion were lucky to get nil. Man U were all over us. But yes, Man U got a free kick when the keeper got clattered by two of her own defenders. She got a free kick for it.
Well,
It's
yeah.
just goalkeepers are. Yeah, by all means protect them, especially when they're flying through the air, but not when it's your own defender that clatters you.
Okay. Well, I
We're
mean, like I
talking
said, like...
women's game. Have you caught on that the game's being at the training ground, the Durham game? Have you
Yes,
got
it's been
that?
moved. It's been
Yeah.
moved. It was a bad day at the office. We move on.
Oh, sorry. One last thing, AD. Jordan Pickford's behaviour after the final whistle. Again, I assume you went straight to the bar.
I didn't applaud the players off.
No, he went immediately behind the goal to the north stand, gave it the big one, and Let's face it, Jan Paul van Hecker is not backwards in coming forwards, Clive. Did you see all this at all?
I didn't. For the second time, I left early. I had tickets for Peter Kay at the O2, and that was the highlight of Saturday, I have to say.
Well, I thought that the highlight nearly happened, which is, and if there's anyone from the Albion listening to this, I don't really mean it, but I actually did think that Van Hecker was going to lamp Pickford into the middle of next week.
Well, that would have been interesting. But yeah, I know
Yes.
I saw that there was a lot of handbags afterwards.
There was a lot of
But
handbags, and I think a couple of
I mean
players got a yellow.
we just got to put that performance behind us. We've seen some decent performances of late.
Quite
We
right.
move.
We don't become rubbish overnight. You're quite right, AD.
Yeah. So, I think this. I think that's just where we are this season. I think. I mean, obviously we're still in the race to qualify for Europe, but I mean, consistency's been a little bit off this season, and I think this is where we are. I think this is a season of transition with the players that we've got.
And yet here we are, not relegation fodder.
No,
We're
absolutely.
still sort of like, well, 11th, 12th, whatever it might be. And if you rewind 3 years ago, does that mean to say that, oh, you can't forever look backwards to what we were then? We are
Yeah.
here now. And you think, well, actually, yes, we've done well, 6th, 9th, 10th, whatever it might be. We
Yeah.
cannot take that for granted.
No.
And we've got other teams who are now following us, copying us, doing well on the back of it. Oh, what was it? Bo Diddley once said, he said, I just was open the door
Okay.
and everyone charged through, leaving me holding the knob.
Yeah. Clive, you're shaking your head. You disagree.
I think I probably did agree in that after the Arsenal game. I sort of said, Europe season's over because Europe's out and we're not getting relegated. And I don't think much has changed since then, really. So it is
Think we're
that sort
basically
of,
mid-table fodder at the moment.
yeah. Well, I think that, look, we were saying last week the fact that Minte's starting to bed in and he's actually starting to look like the player that we've signed. We've got a lot of other players who are out injured and yet to come back in. We're still bedding these players in. They're still settling, and I think once it doesn't happen overnight, we forget that it does take time for players to they can't always just hit the ground running straight away.
I'm
And
not sure I know what our first 11 is yet, do you? I mean, if everyone's
I
fit,
asked Fabio. I don't think he did either. No,
which is great, actually, isn't it? It's nice to be in that situation where there's a
absolutely.
bit of quality.
But okay, well,
Can I
we'll
just,
come on
sorry,
to that in
AD,
a.
sorry, before you move on, can we just, I just want to briefly mention about Minte. I mean, so I think you and I are largely on the, have been on largely the same page this season about him. I mean, the other thing is that notwithstanding his tardiness that got him dropped from the team, allegedly, is when he came on, he was playing like a man possessed. I thought he was actually just about, he looked like he wanted to fight every Everton player. So I'm just wondering how that it would come across that the story is true because he knows he's balls up and he wants to make amends.
Well, yeah. Well, if that's the case, and the form that he was in the week before, then he's really let himself and the team down. But
Well, exactly, and I don't like the inference that other reporters have said, saying that the manager punishing him cost the Albion. No, you can't run your full team like that. You've got to run your team on discipline and on the fact it's a team, not an individual player who can swan in when he feels like it.
Okay, well, you are listening to the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast. This show is brought to you, Alan, with.
Flowers Unlimited, 175 to 177 Portland Road, Hove, for all your floral needs. Hey, guys, gals, girls and guys, and all those in
Guys and
between.
guys, girls and girls.
And all those in between, because we're not in America at the moment where everyone is officially a woman. Thank you, Donald Trump. Well done there. But what is coming up is St. Valentine's Day.
Yes, love is in the air.
Love is in the air. No, I'm not going to sing the rest.
Please don't.
But having said that, our good sponsor, Dave Costa at Flowers Unlimited, has kindly offered a prize of a dozen red roses to one lucky winner. You can do what you will with them. You can present them to your partner. You can present them to someone else's partner. Hey, this is Brighton. You can eat them if you feel like it. But a dozen red roses, the value of £65, is being generously donated by Flowers Unlimited to one lucky winner. So we have a question, a
We have a
competition
question.
question. When you think of St. Valentine's Day as a Brighton fan, you rewind 12 years to February the 14th, 2013, the St. Valentine's Day
Valentine's Day
massacre.
massacre.
Indeed. Now, obviously, everyone knows that Brighton won 3-0 and Palace were lucky to get nil. So our question is, could you name the two Albion scorers from that day? The two Albion score, one scored twice, obviously. That's why there's two scorers. If you think you know the answer, please send us an email to thealbionroar@yahoo.co.uk. Jot down the two names in question. And so long as you can send this to us by Tuesday, the 4th of February at 5 o'clock, that'll be fantastic. And we will pick the winner from the correct answers that we receive. So just to recap on that, could you name the two Albion scorers on the St. Valentine's Day massacre in 2013? Write your answer down on an email and send it to thealbionroar@yahoo.co.uk. Please by Tuesday the 4th of February, 5 o'clock.
Indeed, indeed.
Good luck,
Well, I think we're
everyone. And
recording on Wednesday next week.
thanks to Dave Costa of Flowers Unlimited for putting up that prize. Don't make me do too
Okay.
much
Yeah,
editing.
of course. Yeah, thank you to Dave. That's a brilliant prize. Someone is going to be very, very popular. You can thank us later. You know where we are. You can find us in the bar. So anyway, moving swiftly on. The fans advisory board is a thing at the Albion, and Clive, you are a member of said board. I know you were on the show talking to us about it not so long ago, but just give us a quick précis about what it is and what it does.
So we're fans elected, independent from the club, and I have to say Brighton are independent from the club, unlike some other Premier League organisations. So there's about 12 of us representing WSL, 1901 members, season ticket holders, My Albion Plus members, and a member of the Disabled Supporters Association, trying to get a fan's voice. Towards board level, not at board level. We attend a board meeting once a year, and just try and help the club in the way it interacts with its fans, and match their experience, and just try and bring a slightly different perspective, in a, I guess, in a controlled and measured
Yeah.
way.
Now, a lot of the things that you've been consulted on and being liaising with the club have come to fruition over the last few weeks. One of which was the safe standing, the talk of the moving the away fans. This is big. It's big news in the stadium, really, isn't it?
It's massive. I mean, there's a big redevelopment of the stadium going on, and with another 1901 lounge above the north, safe standing in the north, which is going in a initially in a bit of a trial area. They did a poll of people in the north stand of who wanted to stand, who wanted to sit down. I think it was row UOR. It got down to about 80% of people wanted to stand. So we're quite keen that those that don't want to stand have got a good opportunity before season ticket go on sale to move and manage that. I would also like to get a situation where we get bring the noisy people together in the north stand, but I think that has to come from people in the north stand and not be done to them by others ultimately.
Yeah,
It
I mean,
has to happen
ultimately,
generically, doesn't it?
well, yeah, it's a lot easier when it's like an open terrace because you
Yes.
can, like the North Stand at the Goldstone, basically it was a free for all. You go if you wanted to be boisterous, you go with the noisy lot.
Yeah.
If you're not, you go to the chicken run.
But yeah, that's the nature of what's well, it's not so much the safe standing per se that actually brings that in. It's the opportunity that people have. And can you just clarify this, perhaps, Clive? Is that with the safe standing coming in, does this mean that, because I think that one of the complaints is you got a noisy section over in Block A, and then you've got another noisy section, kind of Block G or whatever it might be. Those two can't hear each other. So, is there going to be a kind of a for want of a better term, a free for all in buying the safe stand, or are people being encouraged to stay roughly where they are?
No, I think it's more a case of your current seat is do you want to renew your current seat in your current location? But this time next year it'll be a safe standing seat.
So that whole thing about making a noise is not necessarily going to be addressed on account of the fact that that one noisy clump that is over there and now the noisy clumps that is over there, they're still not going to sort of marry up where ideally you want one big area, don't you?
Correct. Although the opportunity does exist, I think, when you get the potential noisy bunch in the south stand next to the away
Yeah, I
fans.
was going to suggest
And
that.
I think that's a, to me, that's a real opportunity to get a different dynamic and a different part of the ground. And I think, you know, you look, I always go back to what Arsenal have done with the Ashburton Army. You know, they've taken what was a library and made it quite noisy in that section next to the home fans. I'm not all in favour of drum and all the black tops and everything that goes on. But they have created an atmosphere in the ground where there wasn't one before by sitting next to the away fans and making it noisy.
So, do you know what needs to happen? Has the club let you know what needs to happen in the south stand or that corner in order that those fans, the away fans, are going to be moved around?
It's a bit of a Brahma puzzle in that, you know, things need to happen, including, you know, the Heineken Lounge and all. There's lots of things that need to happen to in order to enable that move, the away fans to move. I think that's 2 seasons away.
Yeah.
So we've seen some drawings and high level plans, and you know, our bit is about really is talk to the people that are affected, let them have a voice, let them, you know, safe standing, put a couple of rails in, and let people go and see it before a game. You know,
Yeah.
before they renew their season ticket, let them have a chance to see if it's what they want to do. For those that haven't travelled away and seen it elsewhere.
So you're gonna get this in the next, well, the ticket renewals are actually coming up pretty thick and fast. So
Certainly
we're
are.
probably talking within the next month or so that there will be a safe standing trial, yeah?
That's what we've asked for, certainly.
Yeah,
Because how
so
can you renew your season ticket without? I mean, I was at Ipswich a couple of weeks ago in their safe standing, and it's really tight actually, because it is, you know, the existing seats stay. It's a new post and rail in front, and at Ipswich there wasn't enough room for it. I have to say, it was too tight.
well, I'd
Yeah,
like
but
to think that the Amex was designed sort of
I
even
think.
just that extra sort of 10 centimeters here or 5 centimeters there sometimes is enough to make that difference. You think, well, this is actually quite comfortable. It's that notion of like leg room in a car. You know, it might, you know, you, oh, you've got, you know, 72 centimeters leg room here, but if you go to 76, then that makes all the difference. You can stretch your legs out a little bit. It's those small margins, isn't it, Clive?
Well, as I say, certainly based on Ipswich, I don't think you were there. It was really tight.
Are they actually removing the existing seats and putting the rail seats in,
No,
or are they just putting, or are they just putting a rail in?
seats remain and rails go in. So
Right.
it's like the Brentford system. If you've been to Brentford away, it's the same as that. So, you
Right.
know, but naturally, you are going to get, you know, these things. What, there's a bracket that goes on the floor and then a bit of tubing. So you are going to take away space. I mean, yeah, I
Right.
don't think it's going to make a huge difference because the area affected, everyone stands anyway. So,
This is a weird
yeah.
thing. I mean,
But yeah, I mean, going back to the moving of the away fans. I mean, you just alluded to it there, that the Heineken Lounge is going to go, which I'm very sad about, actually. It's by far the best lounge
hang on, why does
in
the
the,
Heineken Lounge need to go?
because that's where the away fans is going to, they're going to rejig in that area, fit it for the away fans.
But they have a separate entrance, don't they?
Yeah, they will do, but from what Paul was saying it on the show the other day, that basically in order to make that area 4,000 seats, they need to take the lounge out.
Clive, can I ask something of you then in that case? I mean, we're sort of taking a little bit of a liberty with access to you at the moment here. Is that you said you've seen plans, you've seen drawings. Is there any way you can ask the club to make them public if they haven't already? Because
I
like I said, I'm
certainly
a little bit
have.
confused.
Because it's why wouldn't you just tell people what you're doing? You know, to me, it's a lot of these things are a good news story. The new steps at the coach park, why isn't there a big sign on there saying, you know, new steps coming, opening next season?
Yeah.
They're shielded in mystery as to what they are. Then you get a rumour mill going about, you know, what they're doing there. And I
I think it's
just.
possibly one too many times they've actually said we're going to do this, this, and this, and then it doesn't happen. So I understand that particular point, but like you say, it's kind of curious because those in the West Stand, I mean, from my limited concrete engineering perspective, i.e., none, you're obviously going to have to wall off some of the West Stand in the South End and wall off sort of some of the South Stand halfway across, but then you mean to open up the South Stand and the East Stand and all those bits together, isn't it? So I assume that there's got to be some engineering that's gone on that they haven't necessarily finalised, or have you seen what you think are final plans?
I think there's some quite detailed plans we were still spoken through, because for a long time we were sworn to secrecy, but the away fans were going to the East, but it was just too difficult to do to get the numbers, and so yeah, they've it is more involved than you would first think, and I don't think there's a lot of concrete necessarily
No,
going
I don't
in.
think so.
I think
No.
it will be more
The cages, isn't it?
Well,
Well,
not
it's
cage.
the same as it is now.
I mean, it would just be sat across some tarpaulin across the seats with the Amex written on it, wouldn't it? I would
I was
think.
actually thinking in the concourses, to be honest
No,
here.
they don't put walls. Basically, they can't do that because of health and safety reasons. So, I mean, there have been gates in place for quite some time.
Concourse has got different roller shutters at the moment, isn't
Yeah,
it?
that's it.
Depending on how
Yeah.
many people come,
Yes.
it's just a
Yeah.
roller shutter
And
opens and.
the other thing with that away section is, of course, the fact is, we're fine. Well, 8 o'clock kickoff. We're not finding out so much,
We'll come back to that
but
in a
because
minute.
of home FA Cup, home FA Cup games, home cup games, yeah, the allocation is 10% bigger. So yeah, it has to be able to allocate that as well.
You need to allow for those FA Cup
Yeah. Yeah.
attendances, don't you?
But I mean, another thing that we know that you've been talking to the club about, and now the club's made its announcement, is the ticket prices for next year. Can you give us a flavour of how the conversation went, and to how was it? Was it a consultation? Was it an informed thing, or what happened?
No, I think it was more an early informed. So we were told what the plans were. I think we're given a chance to comment, but I'm not sure. I think they were signed off final proposals that we saw previous to them going live, effectively.
And what was FAB's initial, reaction to them?
Not that unreasonable, actually. Look, no one wants to pay more money, do they, for the same thing? But at the same time, I think you recognise that. Personally, I don't understand the FAB, because there are different views across the FAB. But if you recognise the investment going in on the fan zone, you look at the investments gone on the pitch in the last season. It can't all come from Tony, can it? So
No,
I
it comes from
think.
Chelsea. Well, are you talking about Todd's bar here, AD? Oh God.
We're
Yeah, being,
not going to
I'll
call
be
it
in
that,
there,
are
I'm
we?
told at this rate.
Sorry, carry on, Clive.
Yeah, so I personally feel that a reasonable level of increase in season prices, is not it's not unreasonable. I think it's
Before we started, you expressed that you thought there might be a little bit more of a backlash, especially with what's going on at other clubs, about the notion of concessions. Now, obviously, some clubs have done away with concessions completely. Now, we've tweaked ours, but done away with a couple of the others. Could you just clarify what they are?
So I think there's areas in the ground that aren't going to have concessions in them. So some of the best seats in the ground at the moment, you could get a concession in the East and West Lower. I think on the halfway line, some of those are concessionary tickets. So those concession prices, if you want to sit there still, I think you pay the full price. They've done away with, I think, an under 10 rate.
I think they've
So,
done away with the under 10 rate for newbies. I think anyone who's
yes,
currently got an under 10
can go
keeps
through.
it. Yeah.
Which is potentially not unreasonable. And then there's what was the other one I was going to say? The retirement age is going up in line with government retirement age.
It's only
So I
going
think
up a year, though. It's going up to 66, isn't it, from 65? So.
I think, and then it goes up to 67 in a couple of years' time. And there'll be somebody, as there always is, who's their birthday will be the day before, and we'll have that dreadful cut-off, wouldn't they?
Yeah, it's gonna.
That's going to be unfortunate. And I guess the other thing, which we're broadly supportive of as a FAB, is ticket utilisation. The feedback we have given is it's been a bit heavy-handed in some of the wording. People have had a family emergency or something, not attended. Well, so they were saying on social media, not attended a game, and then had a very heavy-handed letter about you must use your seat. I think the club are quite. If you run well, my business partner's father had a heart attack. Contacted the club, they arranged a parking space next to the ground, and we're very flexible about his ticket. So I think when you contact the club and tell them what your plans are, you've got issues, it's not a problem.
Yeah.
It's when people don't turn up repeatedly. I mean, there's somebody who's had a season ticket for 4 years and never been to the ground because they think they're doing the club a favour by buying a ticket. There's people that go to six games a year, and we know which sort of six games they're going to be. It'd be the Man U, Spurs, Arsenal, Chelsea. If you're not going to go, why wouldn't you list your ticket? Because actually, the tourists who come spend a bit more money in the shop, and actually, that's what keeps season ticket prices down.
Well,
And
this is it. For every seat that's filled, you've got a potential of another 10, 15 quid in spending money. You're gonna have a pint, maybe have a pint, have a like you say, the tourists, especially the Japanese tourists, first thing they do is make a beeline for the shop. Absolutely.
okay, well, you're listening to the Albion Raw here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, and on DAB, and of course on our podcast. We're brought to you in association with Flowers Unlimited. Flowers Unlimited are giving you the opportunity to be the belle of the ball, to be the most popular person in the house, particularly as the Albion's next home league game is actually on Valentine's Day. You're going to need some brownie points. How can you get some brownie points, Al?
Probably by not going, frankly, because it'll make your life so much easier. Clive, I just want, let's touch on the two Chelsea games we've got coming up.
Yeah, no, absolutely appalling. I think, one is bad enough. But to have them, is it 6 or 8 days apart? 8 days
Which one's
apart
first?
is.
It's the cup game, isn't it?
The cup game's first, 8 o'clock Saturday. Move the TV, not even a major TV channel, it's on ITV4.
Four. Yeah, I thought it was really.
Which is.
Let's face it, everyone has ITV4, though, don't they?
Well, that's not the point. The fact is, it's not a time. I mean, there is there. You can have the argument. Okay, we all go to midweek away games, which are 7:45 usually, somewhere in the middle of nowhere in the other end of the country. But I don't know. It's 8 o'clock on a Saturday. It just feels wrong.
Saturday nights in Brighton are not for football, frankly. They're for either celebrating or drowning your own sorrows, but not for the game itself.
I think also taking the fact that they've been there the week before at 8 o'clock on a Friday. I think just
No, that's
people ought to
afterwards.
look at that or going all right, the following week then. But you need to look at that and say, actually, do people really want to do that?
Well, the thing that really cheeses people off is it's because it's the FA Cup and has the potential of finishing at 11 o'clock. Now, that's bad enough, of a weekday night where at least you've got weekday trains running. But, Saturday night. Now, I do appreciate that the fact that the club has, and everyone has signed up to the TV deals. But, was the lesson not learnt from the TV companies when we played at 8 o'clock on Boxing Day evening? What was it, 2 or 3 years ago, at home to Brentford, to a
Brentford.
half full stadium?
I don't know that I care. I really don't
But
think
part of the
that's.
TV thing is they film it, that they screen it in front of a full crowd. That's part of that. I mean, in Spain, they go absolutely loopy there, and I think it was one of the lower clubs. I think it was Elche or Elche or whatever it's. They had something like a third full stadium, and the Spanish FA fined them for it. Even though their game was at a stupid time, they don't have away fans in Spain as a general rule anyway, unless it's Real Madrid or Barcelona. Now, hopefully, that's not going to come here. But Saturday night, and more to the point, who is going to be interested in watching Brighton against Chelsea on a Saturday night anyway? I mean, it's hard push for us to, let alone a neutral.
And
I mean, to be honest, I mean, as games in the draw go, it is quite an attractive game. And if that was on a Saturday tea time or Sunday lunchtime, it would get decent figures. But I just don't think. I think Michael McIntyre is going to trump us.
I think Trump would trump us. Yeah, no,
It's.
it's stupid. Listen, I intended to go out that night. As it transpires, that's now been cancelled. But yeah, I mean, as someone who now lives in Goring by Sea, and I know that my last direct train back from Brighton is at 10 past 11. Not 100% sure what I'm going to do,
So they're
and
not
even.
selling that well, are they? They've held back blocks now in the East and West upper stands.
Yeah, absolutely,
So,
and yeah,
well,
and this, but still are offering 5,000 or 4,500 at Chelsea because they have to. Yeah,
it's
it's
not as
going to
if they
be
take
all
one
a bit
away from the whole
lopsided.
West Upper. That was I'm still upset about that, and that was
Yeah.
15 years ago. But
Anyway,
yeah.
so yeah, it's really not clever. I mean, like I
Okay.
say, I mean, you can't necessarily blame the club, but you blame all the clubs collectively for actually, like I say, dropping their trousers over this one.
It's not great. It's not very family friendly, and the magic of the cup is not alive and well,
Well, and
in this
let
particular
me
game.
throw this one over to you then, just quickly, last before we finish up. Would it be more palatable if it wasn't Chelsea?
No. It's
I think it
ridiculous.
would. I think the fact the games are so close together, league and cup, I think it would make it slightly more palatable to see a different team. I think the
Yeah.
fact you're going to see this, you're not going to see the same thing, because
If it's
Tottenham's never
Plymouth
the same.
away, that'd be all right. That
Well, you make a weekend of it,
would
don't you?
be.
I have to say that I think the pricing at 25 quid is pretty reasonable offer by the club. I think that was pretty good.
Yeah, it's just yeah, it's not a great
It's
one
the only
for
thing is the
Birmingham.
timing, isn't it? I mean, it's
Yeah,
not
it's
even
just
the
the timing.
opposition.
I mean, if it was Saturday for any time on a Saturday up to 5 o'clock, it would have been fine. It's just that 8 o'clock one is just it's just not it's not well, we're talking about the FA Cup, and the FA Cup is one of the most traditional competitions in world football, and basically they're running hard and fast with the rules. They got rid of the replays. Which
It's not so much cup fever, it's more cup coma.
yeah
The
so
other big
it...
game I don't like is the late Sunday evening games. Yeah, I just think they're really
And the Premier League actually promised that they wouldn't, and the TV companies, I was in the meeting, they promised they wouldn't do it. And
Okay.
they have their particular slots they have to fill, and they have to have the big six more than the others, and it's their algorithm that they've got.
Yeah.
Makes it an absolute joke.
Okay.
Right, we're running very short of time now, so just quickly, before we go, if you want to be a favorite for with your partner or whoever you want to give flowers to, on the 14th of February, we're running a competition. Please let us know who the two Albion scorers were on the day that we beat Crystal Palace 3-0 on the 14th of February 2013, and if you can name those two scorers, put the answer down on an email to thealbionroar@yahoo.co.uk before the 4th of February. Good luck, everyone.
And that is it. That's all we've got time for this week. So thank you, of course, to Clive Steed. Thank you to Alan Wares. I've been Ailey Packham. This has been the Albion Roar on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast, and in association with Flowers Unlimited. Good luck in the competition. We're looking forward to all your entries coming in, and we'll see you all again next week. Thanks for listening. Bye.